Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Adani Energy Solutions Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call. We have with us on the call today Mr. Kandarp Patel, CEO, AESL, Mr. Kunjal Mehta, CFO, AESL, Mr. Anupam Misra, Head Group Corporate Finance, and Mr. Vijil Jain, Head IR, AESL. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kandarp Patel. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello. Good morning, and best wishes to all investors and analyst friends who have joined on the call. I hope all of you must have got an opportunity to go through the results that we have published and uploaded on our website. I think this was a very strong performance that we reported in quarter two. And in fact, all the three existing businesses, which is transmission, distribution, and smart meter, are in a phase of massive growth. You must have seen those numbers. Another business that we were incubating so far, which is C&I in power solutioning business, I think from next quarter onward, you will see contribution coming also from this vertical. During quarter, AESL raised equity of 8,300 through QIP route. And in fact, that's very helpful to AESL for fueling this CapEx growth in transmission and smart metering. In the current quarter, besides the project under execution, which was 17,000 crore, we have secured four new transmission projects. And with that, our project under construction has reached to 31,700 crore from 17,000 crore. Once those projects are completed of 31,000 crore, it will contribute to EBITDA of about 4,200 crore. In the timeline of these projects, entire 31,700 crore CapEx would be around 2 years, so 24 months. So you will see those assets getting commissioned in the current year, next year, and some of them in the early part of next to next year. In the current quarter, in fact, we did exceedingly well as far as CapEx deployment is concerned. We deployed CapEx of 3,000 crore in the last quarter. That was two and a half times of the CapEx that we deployed same quarter last year. And same is the case in the total CapEx of first half of the current year, which is 4,400 crore, which was against 1.7 times of the CapEx that we deployed in the same period last year. So as I said, in fact, in our business, it is important to understand that whenever we deploy CapEx, we to that extent lock in profitability. So if asset is long gestation, it might reflect at a particular time. But as an investor, if you have those numbers, then you are secured that this kind of profitability or revenue has already been locked in. So in fact, as AESL, we closely monitor CapEx number on a quarter-to-quarter and a month-to-month basis. This CapEx number will also get accelerated for a simple reason that first half was also having a monsoon. Now we will have a clear season for next 6 months, and we think that we'll be able to close this year with a capex of about 10,000 crore at least. Now this will surely bring the growth in EBITDA that we projected, which will be in excess of 15%. As far as operational update is concerned, we continue to do excellent work as far as operation is concerned. We maintain that availability of 99.7%. As a result, we also on 35 crore of incentive. We added 140 circuit kilometers to our network, and now we have reached to 23,000 circuit kilometer plus. As far as distribution is concerned, the growth in electricity sale was to the tune of 7%, and continuously with our endeavor, we have been able to reduce distribution losses further. Now it has reached to 4.85%. And with all this effort on operation and project side, the financial numbers also accordingly show up the result. So revenue increased by 23%, reaching to 4,200. EBITDA as well increased to by 31%. It has reached to 1,891 crore. Similarly, PAT also increased a steep growth and reached to 773 crore. Similarly, cash profit has also shown very healthy growth, and it has reached to 1,026 crore. While we do this capex, but we make sure that we operate this business with a financial prudence and discipline, and there have that's how we have also maintained that net debt to EBITDA at the 3.1x. Now, as far as the outlook is concerned, transmission remains the major area where we will continue to focus. And India is a massive opportunity as far as transmission is concerned. Besides, we already got a 4 project, but still the bidding which is going to happen in next 6 to 7 month time is of the order of 85,000 crore. And we expect that we will maintain our market share. There could be opportunity to increase the market share as well, but we will make sure that we follow the prudent investment decision. And even if we take the current market share, then we hope to get about 15 to 20,000 crore worth project more in the next 6 month time. Distribution, the RAB currently is 8,400, and it will continue to grow as we continue to invest in distribution network in Mumbai. In fact, one of the projects which was supposed to commission in last quarter got delayed because of geographical surprise. But now that project is on a track, and we expect that to commission in next quarter. That will add about 1,000 crore of RAB into Mumbai asset base. As far as smart meter is concerned, now we have started progressing very well. In fact, in last quarter, we deployed about close to about 4 lakh meters at the rate of about 4,200 meters per day. In October, so far, we are deploying about at the rate of about 7,000 meters per day. And now we expect to significantly step up the implementation plan, because now we will have that clear season without any monsoon, and we expect to add about 30 to 35 lakh meter in next 6 months. So we'll close the year by with an installation of about 40 to 42 lakh meters. So these are the basic details, and I'll hand over to all our friends. We will give further details during the question answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask questions, please press star and one. First question is from Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir. So my first question on the transmission. Can you just help us with the transmission capex which you'll do for next 3 years based on the current pipeline? Is it possible to talk about the expected EBITDA of the locked-in portfolio?
So, Mohit, as I said, the project under construction is of the order of 32,000 crore, which is already secured. And timeline of all these projects are about 2 years, so 24 months. And we also expect to add another 15,000 crore at least to this this kitty. So it will reach to about 45,000 crore of project under the implementation. And with that, we will have EBITDA in excess of 5,000 crore. With this 32,000 crore project under construction, it will contribute about 4,200 crore. And another 15,000 projects will contribute about 16 to 1700 crore of EBITDA. And this will happen over the 24, and the new project that we will get will be in 30 months from now. So that's the outer limits.
Understood, sir. And given the fact that there is a huge bidding opportunity, I think first half has been great, and I think you have won your fair share. But that's why I believe the H2 seems to be likely to be again a very massive opportunity. How do you think about the, you can just explain us the transmission bidding opportunity and the pipeline which you're looking for the next 18 to 24 months?
So, Mohit, we have a clarity as far as the next 6 months is concerned. So, those projects are already identified for bidding, approved for bidding, and the process has reached to a certain level. So, in next 6 months, Mohit, we expect to witness a bidding of about 85,000 crore capex of transmission project. In fact, this also includes two HVDC projects which were supposed to get bidded in last quarter, but it has spilled over and now it will go under the bidding. And on a long-term horizon, 1 to 1.5 years, there will be another at least a lakh crore of capex that will come under the bidding.
Understood. The in Khavda said that there are two HVDC bills, right? First one, I think, has already happened. The second one can it happen in the second half, or do you think it will take maybe it will spill over to F26?
Yeah, so certainly it will happen in the second half. And another HVDC, which is that Rajasthan HVDC, which got rebidded, is likely to happen very soon.
You're expecting, apart from one Khavda bridge already happened, expecting other two HVDC bids, right?
Correct. One of Rajasthan and one of Khavda.
Understood, sir. I said on the second, on the smart meter, of course, you spoke about 35 lakhs in the next 6 months. You are trying to reach 42 lakh by the end of F25. How do you think about F26 and F27, given the progress on all these areas? Is there something, some number which you think you can guide us?
Mohit, come again. Sorry.
My question on
number for the next year?
For the next year, F26 numbers and F27 numbers, given your portfolio.
So, Mohit, what we have got right now is about 2.6 crore meters. We will complete about 45 in the current year. But now all those issues that we had, in fact, you know, when you start implementation, there are a lot of integration issues and there are a lot of coordination which is required to be done with the distribution because you are getting into their operations. So their processes are also need to be aligned and your processes are also need to align with the distribution company's processes. And every distribution company has a different processes for billing and meter installation and recollection. So we have gone through that entire phase, integration is done. Everything is working stable and now we only have to go and deploy meter on the ground. So in fact, in the current month, we had seen it ramping up to 10,000 meters a day from 4,000, which was there in the last quarter. with that kind of work that we have done on the ground, at least we'll be able to add about a crore of meters next year and the balance one in the subsequent year. And meanwhile, we will also add further meter as and when opportunity comes in. So about 10 crore bidding opportunity is yet to be come on the come for the bidding.
I think a couple of bids are out there, right, sir? Tamil Nadu is one large one, which I think is supposed to us. I think it got bid out last year. It's still to be closed. Am I right in that?
Yeah, yeah. So Tamil Nadu, we expect that it should get closed in a couple of months' time.
Understood. So my last question on the C&I. Of course, you did touch on the topic, but we are trying to figure out what are your targets, what is the business model, what are the revenue model. Can you just please help us with some kind of basic, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So Mohit, this is very exciting thing, especially personally for me because I started my career with the power trading job. That's my first love in tech, the C&I business. See, what we have done and what we have realized is that now with a growing economic activity in the country, there are many, many customers who has a very distinct requirement which conventional distribution company are not able to meet. Like if you take a case of data center, they would want a certain level of reliability. At the same time, they would want a certain percentage of green penetration. And they would also want power supply to commence and infrastructure to get ready in a particular time frame. Because then they will also have a similar back-to-back contract with other players. Now, this offers a huge opportunity because we have a presence in generation, renewable generation, transmission, as well as distribution. And as a distribution or retail arm, we will be able to leverage our renewable capacity that we are creating in the group. And in case this concept we started in-house, so last year we commenced this kind of activity for cement business, port business and Wilmar business. In fact, today we are managing power supply for about 100 establishment of these three businesses across the country. And having tested ourselves, now we have started getting into contracts and, with the third party. In fact, currently we already have a contract about 20 megawatt. We are into active discussion for contracts for about 250 megawatt. So roughly, in fact, by the year end, we will be able to close or we'll have a volume of about 5,000 million units, and that will contribute on an annualized basis of about 150 crore of EBITDA. Going forward, and this I'm talking without any major contract with any data center player. There also we are actively discussing with Google's and Microsoft the world. And we hope that we'll be able to finalize contracts with them very, very soon. This is going to be a very exciting business, and you'll see a lot of action happening in this side in next quarter, and largely you will see a lot of activity in next financial year.
Understood, sir. Thank you, and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Mohit.
Thank you. The next question is from Brett Knoblauch from Cantor Fitzgerald. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my question. Maybe first, on the smart metering deployment, how difficult is it to ramp up from, I know you guys said you guys were at 4,000 a day, now approaching 10,000 a day. What's the biggest bottleneck for you why you're not doing more on a daily basis? Is it labor? Is it inventory of the meters itself? Can maybe just help explain that a bit.
So far we were constrained by 2-3 factors. Obviously, we have multiple geography, and so we have a contract with Assam, Andhra, Bihar, Maharashtra, and Uttarakhand, and BEST, a distribution company in Mumbai. So when you start deploying meters in any geography, first you have to get those integration done with a distribution company. That takes some time. So what we did, we started with one by one distribution company. So first we started with Assam, then we started Bihar, then Maharashtra, then Andhra, and now we have also started Uttarakhand. So as we were starting a geography one by one, the total rate of deployment was less, and also there were the issues around getting a good labor. Now, having integrated with all the distribution company and having arranged all those contractors and skilled labor, in fact, we have undertaken a massive training program, and we trained about 10,000 people as far as metering is concerned, and that is helping us now. So with this kind of preparation, now we feel that we'll be able to significantly ramp up the rate. We have already reached to 10,000 from 4,000, and we expect it to take it up to 16 to 20,000. So we'll operate between 16 to 20,000 meters a day from next quarter onward.
No, thank you. That's super helpful. And then on the CapEx guidance, I think you said so much around 10,000 crore for the year, which implies, I guess, just over, or 6,500 for the rest of the year. Could you just maybe break down how much of that is going to be between the three kind of segments of transmission, distribution, and smart metering? And should we expect, relative to the first half, smart metering to have, a significant growth?
So out of this 10,000, transmission would be around, distribution would be around 1,600 to 1,700 crore. Smart metering would be around 3,000 crore, and the rest would be from a transmission side. But the biggest advantage as AESL to us is that eventually AESL's profitability is largely defined by the capex. Now, since we operate in three segments, even if there is some slippage in capex and in some business vertical, we have an option and opportunity of pushing the capex in the another vertical of the business. In fact, that makes AESL distinct from all other players in the market.
I agree. And then maybe just one more. I think you guys talked about how EBITDA has grown at a CAGR of call it 9% over the last 4 years. It was 15% on a trailing 12-month basis as of the end of the second quarter. Can you just maybe big picture, talk about where you expect EBITDA growth to go from here. Should we expect, call it that 15% rate to accelerate, or maybe just provide some framework for us?
So certainly it will be in excess of 15%. Now, if you see the already project under execution, and those projects, including smart meter, will get concluded in next couple of years. So that itself is 50,000 crore of capex, and therefore the growth is going to correspond to that kind of capex, which will, in my view, it will be in excess of 20%.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Really appreciate the time.
Thank you. The next question is from Dhruv Muchhal from HDFC Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. So the first question is on the C&I business. So under this business, can you target only the ISTS connected customers, or you can even approach the DISCOM connected customers? I mean, just trying to understand what's the landscape that you can address.
So Dhruv, we can connect, we can target both. In fact, ISTS as well as interest rate consumers. You must have noticed that open access regulation, which has come from for this green energy, the earlier restriction of allowing open access for a consumer up to 1 megawatt has also been diluted for green energy. So therefore, in fact, virtually all the customer in the country can become target for you.
Got it. And what's the economic model here? You do a back-to-back with a generator, say for example, any green developer, you have allotted group, and a similar contract with the customer, and you earn the spread on it. So how does the model work, the economic model?
So what we do is we assume responsibility end-to-end and up to the delivery of power, and also maintaining those connected assets so that their reliability is ensured. So even last mile connectivity, if we need to invest, we invest and maintain that part. And from a sourcing side, we will have a bunch of assets that we will secure. And see, one of the biggest advantage that you can create is also from the diversity and aggregation of demand and supply. Now, if you have a one side number of assets supplying power to you, and on the other side you have a number of customers, then you will also be able to create a lot of advantage because of diversity in demand and also in generation, and also from aggregation side.
Got it. Perfect. That's helpful, sir. And so the second question is on the transmission, the outlook and bidding. So if one looks at the overall landscape, it seems one of the larger players in the system has got a very reasonable order book now, because it seems has been more aggressive in the, has got a larger share in the bids in the past. So do you think, and one of the concerns in the transmission sector earlier was that the IRR was not sufficient because of the lack of bidding and also number of players. But given the changing landscape, do you think IRRs would be better in future bids than some of the recent bids, or still the intensity is very high?
So, Dhruv, you must have seen the IRRs have increased in recent times in the bidding. So the level of aggression certainly has reduced, and we expect that it will further allow us to increase IRR, but at least we don't see any condition where there will be a lot of aggressive bidding forcing you to reduce your IRR. I don't see that is happening, because already 85,000 notified for bidding, and another 1 lakh crore will come in next year and those time frame. So there is a huge pipeline available for all the players.
And so lastly, is that when we look at the execution time period which the system is allowing is about 24 months, 18, I think now it's about 24 months, which still seems a bit tight given the overall execution cycle that we have seen historically. So when you bid for projects, do you consider that there could be a delay of 6-9 months, as we have seen some of your projects and some of your peers also, that typically execution happens in 2.5 years or 3 years. So do you consider that when you are looking for bids or when you're bidding for these IRRs, or how is the framework that you think, or 24 months is, you think is executable?
So we certainly make a detailed analysis before we take a call. And whenever we are sure, both in terms of supply and execution, that we'll be able to complete in the time, then only we don't load it. And if there is a possibility of any delay, then we will certainly factor those kind of cost in our model. But see, Dhruv, most important for us is, and that is how we feel that we don't usually get into those kind of a situation, because we do a lot of preparatory work before we bid and even before we go on the ground for execution.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. This was helpful, and all the best. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Bharat Shah from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
I lost out on the call in between. Plus, I couldn't fully comprehend your answer to the previous question. But on smart meter, I wanted to understand what are the constraints on the rollout? Because 4,000 or 10,000 still sounds very modest and very inconsequential kind of a rollout of smart meters.
So Bharat bhai, what I was replying to the earlier question is that we had about 6 different geography. We started to implement in different geography one by one. And when you go, when you start deploying meter in particular geography, you have to integrate with the distribution system, and you also have to integrate and demonstrate your entire smart meter architect and platform to the distribution company. Once they approve, then you start deploying on the ground with full resources. Now, as we were starting geography one by one, therefore the implementation rate was lower, and there were also issues around manpower availability. So both the issues now we have sorted. We have started implementing and integrated with all the 6 distribution companies. And now, having sort out that the contractor and manpower issues as well, from 4,000 to 10,000 we have reached in a 1 month period, and we hope to take it to 15,000 plus, and we will continue to operate at that level.
But if you roll out 15,000 also a day, that will take you at max to about 5 million for the next year. That itself sounds a very small number to my mind, unless I missed something. I thought you earlier mentioned that you expect to roll out about 1 crore meters next year. If I heard it correctly, that's what I understood. So if you roll out 15,000 meters, then you will
so
be
Bharat bhai, Bharat bhai, I'm talking about the current geography. If I add geography, then those numbers will get added.
Okay, so what exactly, how many smart meters did we roll out last quarter? How much did we expect in the
current year? So last quarter, Bharat bhai, we rolled out 3.6 lakh meters. We have reached total of 6.73 lakh meter, and in the current year, the balance 6 months, we plan to add another 30 to 35 lakh meter.
So that means we'll reach about 40 lakh meters by the end of the
year. Yeah, 40 to 45. And Bharatbhai, why we are confident is because now that season is good, so we in fact, we also face quite a good amount of constraint because of extended monsoon. But now that season is over, so we expect that our deployment rate will continue and it will improve significantly.
So out of the awarded contract so far, how much do we expect to roll out next year?
Next year it would be around 70 lakh meter out of awarded contract.
And you expect to add another 30 lakhs from the new contracts that you may hope to win?
Correct. And this, again, I am giving a conservative number about that. We will certainly try and push those numbers at a higher level as well.
Right. And are we facing any on-ground resistance of any kind, either from customers or others, in terms of these rollout?
So there are resistance, not mainly from a customer, but all those motivated factors on the ground. And but that's a part of business. We have to deal with that and find your way in implementing it.
So that is that's not the key reason why there is a delay, or
no. It affected us to a certain extent to begin with, but now I don't see that the reason which is going to stop us.
Okay, and that economics of the smart meter that we had originally understood, roughly about 11,000 cost. Roughly about 1,000 comes from the government as an upfront subsidy. So balance about 9,000 to 10,000 rupee is what you earn over a period of 9 year rollout per meter is revenue. Almost about 85% of which is the operating profit in the business. So that economics remains, right?
It remains unchanged. Bharata, just one caveat. The subsidy that comes from government is not 1,000, it is 900.
Okay. Yeah. No, I said ballpark numbers. I was just rounding off and making broad numbers. Also, there were tax write-backs in the current quarter. I could not fully figure that out. So, net-net, there has been actually takes credit in the first half of the year. In the second half of the year, what is the expected tax liability we need to provide, we should count?
So this quarter itself, we had just one-time reversal of the MAT credit which AEML distribution business was accounted. Other than that, there is no expected reversals in the future years. We are expecting an effective tax of around 20%, which will continue as it ought to.
So for the second half of the current year, we should count 20% as the effective tax rate, right?
Correct.
Separately for second half, huh? I'm not talking of mixing with the first half. For the second half separately, it will be 20%.
Correct.
And that is expected to stay the course going ahead.
Yes.
Okay. One last question on Microsoft and Google transactions. I thought one of the transactions already happened and is in the bag. Something to that effect, I read the announcements in the papers. Maybe I'm mistaken, if you can highlight on that. And the
you're right, Bharatbhai. There was an announcement that was for Google contract, where they had a long-term power purchase contract with Adani Green for their part requirement of existing data center or the data center which is under construction either at Noida. What I am talking is beyond that. That's only a power supply PPA between AGEL and Microsoft, Google. Now, although and that's only meeting a part requirement. Essentially, these data center companies wanted someone to handle their entire power supply management because they don't have that kind of knowledge or expertise of managing this complex regulatory system as well as managing supply on the round-the-clock basis. So that is where we see an opportunity, and in fact, we are discussing with Google, Microsoft and many other players where they wanted us to design an energy solution for them, which will define the extent of green energy that we will supply, the kind of reliability and timeline. So those two transactions or these two are very distinct ones.
Right. And broadly, as I understood, roughly for sticking together the entire solution, that is arranging power, design mix, ensuring fail-safe, reliable supply arrangement remaining by stitching together that solution with the various sources. You can hope to make about rupee and half of fees per unit.
So, Bharata, it will not only be a speeching, but sometime you might also have to invest, like last mile connectivity with one of the players that wanted a power solution. We are also investing for them in last mile connectivity, and a small transmission line is to be created. It will mostly a speeching, but you might also require to invest somewhere to make sure that whatever the agreed deliverable that you have signed off, that is delivered. And as far as margins are concerned, it obviously would depend on lot many factors, including terms and condition and risk profile of that particular contract. And that could range right from 1 rupee to, depending on the risk profile of the contract, if the only solutioning or a service is to be provided, like we do for our group companies where they carry all the risk, those margins are around 10 paisa.
I see. And this arrangement potentially can run into not hundreds of crores of units, but actually thousands of crores of units to be supplied in a year, potentially, isn't it?
Yeah, correct. So, what we are targeting is about 7 to 10,000 million units in couple of years.
700 to 1,000 crore units in couple of years.
No, 700 to 1,000 crore units.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Balaji.
Thank you. Next question is from Ajay Sharma from Maybank. Please go ahead.
I just want to check, what's the IRR you are getting on the new transmission projects you just won?
Around 15.
Okay. And what's the increase in the regulated base for the distribution business which you are targeting every year?
So we do capex of about 17 to 1800 crore. And minus depreciation,
600 to 700,
so around 800 to 1,000 crore addition of REB every year.
And what's the current regulated base?
It is 8,405.
Okay, so about 12-13% 10 to 12, 13% kind of growth every year, is it?
Correct. See, and why we have been able to add a lot of capex in Mumbai distribution company, because there you not only add capex in distribution, but you also add capex in transmission. And we see a lot of capex coming from transmission side within Mumbai, because as demand is increasing in Mumbai, there is an urgent need to augment transmission capacity within Mumbai. In fact, one of the projects that I mentioned in the call earlier, which got delayed because of one geographical geological surprise, that project itself is about 1,000 crore.
Right, okay. And lastly, just a small housekeeping question. If I look at your balance sheet, right, if I look at the plant and equipment and right-of-use assets and capital work in progress, I mean, the difference between the September numbers and the March number is more like 1,500 crores. So, I mean, whereas your capex, you said, is more like 4,000 crores. I mean, why is there a difference, actually? Did you get rid of some equipment or what?
So the capex is
Dahanu power plant.
Correct. So one is on account of 2,300 on account of Dahanu power plant. Plus there is certain recognition of the capex is also done under service concession accounting for the smart meter part. So combination of both that, if you add that, you will get to 4,400 crores of capex incurred during the year. But most important reason is 2,300 of the asset which was carved out for the Dahanu power plant.
So let me just outline that. The Dahanu power plant is a 500 megawatt coal-based thermal power plant which is housed under the Adani Electricity Mumbai Limited. For ESG considerations, we've decided that the board of AEML decided, and ESL ran a process, and based on that it has been carved out. So based on that, AEML today does not, AEML or ESL today does not own any coal-based generating power plant. So that is the and it's a book entry of 2,300 crores of book asset.
And the service concession for the smart meter, is that part of other non-current asset? Is it? Where does that sit in?
Other financial assets.
Other financial assets. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Sweet.
So if you look at the cash flow will show a capex of 3,900 odd, and the balance forms part of the service concession accounting and other financial assets.
Yeah, got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Pavitra Sudindran from Apollo. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for the call. Can you give us some information on this steady show cost notice that you got this quarter? What's the percentage shareholding that is alleged not to be public, and what are the next steps here and possible outcomes? Thanks.
So, Pavitra, that is the show cost notice that has been sent by SEBI to the shareholders as well as to AESL, and AESL has made a disclosure to that effect. In due course, we will be responding to that. There is nothing additional to that we want to disclose at this stage. At this stage, I also have to clarify that it has nothing to do with the company per se. It is because it is the company which is listed, and hence the show cause notice has been sent to it. But it is more pertaining to the shareholders rather than the company.
Got it. Thanks, Anupam.
Thank you. The next question is from Bhavik Bhavsar from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. We can hear you.
Yeah, I just wanted to confirm the current regulated equity for transmission and distribution business, and also how is it expected to grow?
See, the transmission business has two parts to it. One is Section 62 assets, then second is Section 63 assets. The Section 62 assets are the ones which have a regulated equity. The Section 63 assets is where we bid out the tariff number, and once we have completed the project, we receive the tariff on a monthly basis based on the bid out schedule. So we would not have a regulated equity number for the transmission business overall. Whatever we do on the Section 62 side, that number is there, and that I think the team can separately provide to you, or maybe if
5,000.
Yeah. So, Lanupam, just to add what you said, in AESL, where we have transmission business, there are a few initial projects which was on a cost-plus basis where there is a regulated equity. So, because we don't add any regulated RTM project, so there could be few RTM projects. Like currently, whatever is the regulated equity in transmission, which is about 3,400 crore, and when we commissioned that HVDC transmission in Mumbai, about 2,000 crore of regulated equity will get added. As far as AEML is concerned, the regulated equity is about 5,000 crore, and as we do a capex of about 1,800 crore every year, 1,700 to 1,800 crore, we will continue to add about 500 crore of regulated equity into it.
Oh, yeah, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Sagar Parekh from OneUp Financial Consultants. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. on this smart meter project, you mentioned about 35 lakhs installation in H2. So, assuming 900 rupees you get, so does that mean like in terms of revenue, you will be about 350-400 crores revenue for H2 from smart meters, or the revenue accrues much later? How do we account for smart metering revenues and
profit? So, that 900 rupee will accrue with a time lag of about 2 to 2.5 months. So once we deploy, then we have to go and demonstrate and to distribution company that deployed meters are working. Once that is done, then billing starts, and then that amount is paid. So roughly about, there is a lag of about 2 to 2.5 months.
So next financial year is when we can see the entire like 40, 45 lakh meters.
Correct. But part certainly will come into the current year as well.
And the remaining 9,000 or 10,000 rupees, does it mean that from FY26 onwards only this 1,000 rupees every year will come through? Or
No. So the first year, 1/10 we will receive plus 900.
Okay. And how would the margin shape up in this business?
So smart meters generally have a margin of around 80 to 85%. In the initial years, because of the initial ramp up, the margins may come down to around 75%. But overall, the project would have an 85% margin.
Got it. And on your CNI business, did I hear it correctly? You said that your margins would range from 10 paise to 1 rupee, something like that.
Correct. So depending on the nature of the contract. So if it's only a service contract, then would be and a simple back-to-back contract, then it could be around 10. But if it is a complex contract, a lot of stitching to be done and position is to be taken, then obviously those margins will be in a higher range.
And you mentioned that some 500 crore units you are expecting by year end with 150 crore EBITDA. So, you, like 500 crore units would translate into broadly about 200-250 crore kind of revenue number, because I'm assuming about 50 paise as
a... So, currently the majority of contract is only a service contract. Now we have started getting into the contract where we do stitching, lot of stitching, end-to-end solution, and also taking a position in the contract.
So if it's a service contract, then it would be broadly 10 paise, right? So for 500 crore units that we were looking to close, then it will be about 50 crore revenue.
So there are mix of it. So few contracts are those contracts as well where we are taking a position.
And the entire revenue would be EBITDA, like, or is there some like cost involved over here?
Very, very minuscule. So roughly in, the EBITDA would be 98%+.
And how much are we looking to invest? You said that we would be investing in last mile connectivity also here, in case if it's a like a complex contract.
Yeah, so I don't have that ready-made number. It will depend on the contract to contract and where the consumer's facilities are located, how far it is and how complex that particular facility will be to connect. So depending on that location, so if you are doing
threshold profile or return metrics that we look at when we bid for these projects, or let's say if we're investing 100 rupees, we get something back. So from that perspective, any sort of number?
So obviously, we will look for more than 15% whenever we do CapEx.
15%, okay. Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Shreyans Daga from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I have one question. So on the RA Kodos HVDC line, can you give us any update as to the timelines and expected capex remaining on that?
So expected capex is about 6,600, 6,700. And the project is progressing very well. And we will be able to commission within timeline, which is August 25.
Okay, thanks. And I have just one question on AEM. So you mentioned, I think last September, you will be able to liquidate about 15 billion rupees of regulatory receivables. So is that going in line, or you expect to, you know, continue that beyond FY26?
No, it is going online. In fact, we are liquidating more than what we have committed.
Okay. And just a small question. So for the annual capex guidance of AEML, can you...
तुम्ही ज्या व्यक्तीशी बोलत आहात त्याने तुमच्या कॉलला होल्डवर ठेवला आहे. कृपया लाईनवरच राहा.
Hello.
Yeah, yeah. So there was some disturbance in between. The annual capex of AEML would be around 1700 to 1800 crore.
And can you give a breakdown of on what projects that would go in and all that?
So it will be in a mix of transmission and distribution, and within distribution there could be n number of projects. Starting from your network augmentation, creating new substation, putting up a smart meters, putting up a storage facilities. So usually the process is that wherever we wanted to do a CAPEX, we have to go to MERC with a DPR. We go to MERC, justify why we are doing it, what is the advantage of that CAPEX. Once they approve, then we do that CAPEX.
Okay, perfect. That's it for me. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from Angel from Prudence. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible? Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I wanted to ask firstly on the show cost notice again, it was asked, but I understand there's two things. There was a peer review certificate that also I believe was in the first quarter earnings, as well as this new one regarding shareholding. So is there any other color that you can provide on this too, and especially also for the peer review certificate one, whether, like, what steps have you taken or what steps will you do together with the new show cost notice moving forward to resolve it, and any timeline that you can give to provide for this to be resolved? What typically are the steps that you need to take to resolve a typical show cost notice?
So the show cost notice was with respect to the peer review which the statutory auditors in 2015-16 had to provide. which they have subsequently provided, and now there is a complete peer review available for our existing auditors. So that matter which was there regarding peer review of the show cause notice stands resolved.
Okay, okay, so that's resolved. Then for the new one of the shareholding, so is there any rough timeline that you guide for that? So when will that be resolved? And what steps do you have to take to actually resolve that?
So that I think Anupam mentioned is that we are in the process of filing the new response to SEBI, and we'll come out with the necessary disclosures in due course of time.
Okay, okay, understand. My next question is relating to, yeah, again, your transmission growth plans are quite large. And then the question is like, what kind of funding options do you have to actually fund this next leg of growth over the near to medium term, so over the next couple of years? How do you weigh your various options across like onshore, offshore banks, dollar bonds, USDT, etc.?
So yes, post this equity raise, we are currently fully funded, and for our debt financing, we continue to have various options, which you, as you mentioned, it could be bank financing, it could be dollar bonds, and it could be domestic bonds, which can be evaluated at that point in time. And currently, because of the QIP that we raised and the projects which are currently under construction, both are fully tied up as far as the debt funding is concerned.
Okay, so the QIP raise wouldn't change your assumptions of like that equity mix funding for a new project, right? Like you won't therefore put in more equity now that you have more equity.
That would be funded through a project of, I mean, project debt of around 70 to 30. That would continue as it is.
Okay. Okay, understand. And last thing is on the Argentine bonds coming in August 2026. And I understand it's still quite some time away, but is there any early thoughts on how to deal with that? And internally or like externally rating agencies, why is there any requirement by a certain timeline? Is it 6 months ahead or 1 year ahead that you have to kind of form out a plan for that refinancing?
So the maturity is still some time away, and at the right time, we will approach the market to refinance that said debt.
Okay. And lastly, the for AM, I don't see your second quarter financials out yet. So can you remind me or let me know what is the regulatory deferral account assets as of September 2024?
So the regulatory deferral account which was there of 1600 is in the course of complete liquidation. Currently we have the out of the 1600 only around 900 which is left by the end of September, and by the end of March, as per the MERC order, that amount would get fully liquidated through the tariff itself.
Understand. So about 700 crores was done over the last 6 months, so that is cash received.
Correct.
Additional cash flow. Okay, and what will the use of proceeds of this cash be for?
That would be used under the normal business use as per the waterfall of that facility.
Thank you very much. Due to paucity of time, we'll have to take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference back to Mr. Kandab Patel for closing comments.
We thank all the investors for the active participation during the call, and we look forward to any other questions that you may have. You can reach out to us or to Vigil for any other clarifications. Thanks for coming up and taking this call.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Adani Energy Solutions Limited, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.